Got me back.
There you go.
Excellent. All right, guys, this is our last session. We can do it. I was telling Sandhya that I imagine 10 to 20, maybe more, half of you maybe struggling to stay awake. And I get it. I get it. It is hard to think about anything after you eat in the middle of the afternoon. You just want a nap. So my prayer is for the next 30-ish, 35, 40 minutes, we can try to engage, and I totally understand if you have a little snore fest, that's fine. The appropriate thing about this is that we are talking about rest. We are talking not just about resting in God, but about physical rest. So this is something that I think we need to talk about. And they've already talked about two books, Reset, and I can't remember the other one, Refresh. And I think that in our busy, crazy busy season, society, the way that we operate, and with social media, it is such a good topic and needed topic for today. So my prayer and hope for you is that we will dive in and enjoy rest. Now, the reality is, though, for most of us, maybe you do get to go home and get to go straight into sleep, rest. But when I get off the plane, my kids should be asleep. If they're not, well, that's another story. But tomorrow morning, because I get home at like 11 something. But tomorrow, immediately, I'm going to be engaging in the family. And so I have to be creative in the way that I rest. But for some of you, you may have young children. So you're going to get home and it's immediate. You're on. So the reality is that we want to enjoy these retreats and soak it in, because we're about to turn our gaze back into our homes and back into the reality, but we don't have to take it off of Christ. And He is our ultimate rest. So I have about 6 points. I'm not going to name them all right now. But I will tell you about a friend of mine, because I think maybe some of you will relate to her. She's a good friend, and I remember talking to her, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and she was on the verge of complete and total meltdown burnout. She was just weary and tired and had 1,000 things to do and was just overwhelmed. She was homeschooling her children, who are five of them, and then, is that right? I always do this, maybe four. Anyway, and then she was, you're fine. Yeah. And then she had taken a position in her church because they needed someone, but she wasn't particularly gifted in it. But she said yes, and was director of children's ministry. Yeah, I'll be all like, so, you know, it's a big role, you know, it's a big thing to do. And then she just had a lot going on. She was trying to serve her family and trying to serve this church and trying to build relationships in a new community she was in. And she was miserably worn out, and she wanted to run away. What happened is that it wasn't just that she was doing too much. It was that she was doing so much that she didn't have any margin for rest. She was going 24 hours almost a day. What she really needed was space to rest and space to play. Does this sound familiar to anyone? To all the people who say yes a lot, you understand. We are easily busy. There's 1,000 things that we can do and 1,000 things that are available for us to do. And there's so many good things to say yes to. So it's hard to say no. It's easy to say no to cleaning your bathroom toilet or something. Not hard to say no to. But it's hard to say no to these good things like going and serving at a potluck or doing, do y'all do potlucks?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, I was country thing. So I just want to make sure. Yeah, and doing, taking a meal to a woman who just had a baby or serving as someone needs this. And there's just lots of good things to that we have to say no to sometimes. But then there's also our own homes, washing, laundry, emails, you name it, organizing, calendars, trying to figure out how to get people from one place to another, school for many of you. Many of you are in doing school and you're overwhelmed and you're trying to figure that out. So there's lots of things to do. So when we return home this week, you're going to return home to work, right? Most of us do. It is essential that we start to think about what it means to rest and that it becomes a part of our rhythm, a part of what we do. So in Psalm 127, I'm just going to read it. This is a pretty topical topic, so we're not going to go through this much, but it's going to be a good baseline for us. So Psalm 127, I'm just going to read the entire psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. That's the only verse. I'm just those first two, not the whole one. Sorry, guys. It is in vain that we go about working in anxious toil. Rest reminds me that unless the Lord builds the house, my labors are in vain. If I'm working like crazy, but I'm filled with complete and total fear and anxiety, why would I be fearful? Fear that everything's going to fall apart if I don't do it. Fear and anxiety for because of everything that you just need to do, then my labors are meaningless. Rest is a gift from God to me as his beloved child. When I don't take advantage of it, when I work hours and hours and hours because I'm worried about getting things done, I'm actually being selfish. Selfish by God's standards. Rest is a way to say, God, I need you. I cannot keep going. We are not the Energizer Bunny. We can't do it. We can't keep going and going and going. And it is such a relief. It really is. It is an absolute relief when we say, you know what? I'm limited and I cannot do it. I had a season where I struggled with this big time. And I said yes to so many things. And what happened? Well, things got dropped. So I would say, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. And then I'd forget to do this. And I just ran out of time for this. And I couldn't do that. And so I disappointed people because I thought I was being selfless by saying yes to all these things. In turn, it only hurt them and it hurt me, and I was actually being selfish because I'm limited, and I needed to say no, and I needed to rest. So I'm learning how to rest, and it is absolutely freeing. It is freeing to just know that we are not little d gods. So I'm going to now define rest for you. There's two different kinds of rest we're going to talk about. We're going to just talk about rest in general, and then we're going to talk about Sabbath rest, which is not something that we really acknowledge or do much in at least in America. It seems like a North American thing. We don't really do Sabbath much. So, defining rest for our purposes. That was awesome. No, sorry. If we weren't talking about rest, it wouldn't have been acknowledged, but that was great. For our purposes, I told you nap time after lunch. I knew it. For our purposes, rest is pausing to refresh and rejuvenate our bodies and to renew our spirits. So the rest we're talking about actually rejuvenates our bodies. It's refreshing and renews our spirit. That's the kind of rest that I'm thinking. It's soul rest and physical rest. Now, and I'm going to, when I say physical rest, it may look different. And so I'm going to tell you now, I have a friend who rests. How she rests? By doing laundry? I don't get it. But she rests because nobody's going to disturb her. Nobody wants to fold laundry with her. So she's smart. So she does laundry and she's able to pray and rejoice and sing. She puts on music and nobody bothers her. And it's restful for her. It's peaceful. But it is still labor. For me, that's complete and total work. That's 100% work. But for her, it's restful. For me, and some of you are going to be like, no way. I love to road cycle. And I haven't done it in a little while. But I like to get on a bike and cycle. And it is, we have the absolute most beautiful country roads in Franklin where there's no cars and you can just go for miles and it's beautiful. And so it is so restful and I love God's creation. So anytime I'm in there, I can worship, I can delight. Now I'm physically going. I'm actually exerting energy, but it's restful for, it's rejuvenating. And I can be with the Lord. And I can't reach my phone, which is my Achilles heel. I can't reach it. So no one can reach me. I can't reach anyone unless I grab it. You know, I have it with me for safety. But I can't, you can't, you'll die. So it's not, you can't do that. Can't do that. My point is that I don't want to define rest for you in such a way that it's stifling. For each, you are going to rest very different than maybe what I would rest like or my friend might rest like. So I'm not going to give you that definition so narrow that you feel like if I don't fall into this, then does that mean I'm not godly? That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that we find a way to rest so that our labors aren't in vain. So that when we rest, then we can have joy in our work. It actually helps our work when we rest because we can do it to the glory of God and we won't have to be frustrated because we're doing all this work because we've actually been rejuvenated. So it goes hand in hand. We really need it. So we're now going to talk about a little bit of this Sabbath. While our bodies need a certain amount of sleep each night to function properly, and we need periods of rest and activity, a Sabbath is designed for a solemn rest, like a rest with the Lord. A Sabbath isn't officially, it isn't officially observed in our culture at least. And I don't know about here, but it's not something that we do well in America. Do y'all have siestas or anything like that? See, okay, North America. We need to get like with Europe. Anyway, so seriously, we work and work and work and work and work. A Sabbath, some people may use a Sunday or a Saturday. Some people use even Mondays. But it's usually a full day of resting from some sort of work. Whatever you define as work, it's rest from it. We're not going to demand it, but I am going to read some things that I think might help inspire us to lean into the reintroducing it into our normal lives. So, one, God created the earth and then he rested on the seventh day. God, who needs no sleep, chose to rest. As his image bearers, made to reflect aspects of him, we also are created to rest. As a matter of fact, God thought rest was so important that he included them in the Ten Commandments. And I love reading this from Exodus because it's so interesting. So listen to this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I find it so interesting because no one and nothing was off the hook. Even livestock, I don't even understand how that works, but even livestock had to rest. I'm assuming it just meant that people couldn't put the livestock to work. Tim Keller writes he has strong things to say about the Sabbath, and he actually wrote about it in his book on work. And his book on work, he included a chapter on the Sabbath because it's important to rest so that we can work to the glory of God. So in it, this is his quote: anyone who cannot obey God's command to observe the Sabbath is a slave. Well, that's strong. Even a self-imposed one. Your own heart or our materialistic culture or an exploitative organization or all of the above will be abusing you if you don't have the ability to be disciplined in your practice of Sabbath. Sabbath is therefore a declaration of freedom. It means you are not a slave, not to your culture's expectation, your family's hopes, your medical school's demands, not even to your own insecurities. It is important that you learn to speak this truth to yourself with a note of triumph. Otherwise, you will feel guilty for taking time off, or you will be unable to truly unplug. This is so strong, but I agree. I think so easy for us to work, work, work. It is so hard for us to rest and not be thinking about all the work we need to be doing, and to rest without feeling some sort of guilt. And perhaps you're thinking, yes, but the law has been fulfilled and we no longer must observe a Sabbath. Yes, observing a Sabbath, a day of rest, is not being chained down and oppressed by the law. It's quite the opposite. When we choose to rest, we express our dependence and trust in God. It frees us. Rest really frees us from the crazy busy and the demands of others. And it says, you know what? I'm actually dependent on God. He's ruling me. And so I'm not going to be ruled by my fear of, not getting things done, by my fear of other people and disappointing people, by my other insecurities, by my demands. I'm not going to be ruled by that. So my question to you, and you can just think about this yourself, are you a slave to your schedule? Are you a slave to your schedule? Some of us don't rest, or we associate rest with laziness. And there is a big difference. Stopping isn't lazy. Stopping isn't lazy. So many of us are chasing a dream, and then what do we end up? Burnt out, like the books we're talking about. We end up completely burnt out, over it, done, like my friend, who wisely started to give up some certain things, including the position that she couldn't do, because it ends up with burnout. But for 1 second, just in case there is someone who does struggle with being idle, I'm going to talk very briefly about idleness. So there's a difference between idleness and true rest. The call to rest is not an invitation to idleness. Work is not a curse. We want to work. Work is a good thing. I've experienced times when I've wanted to just sit and escape and be idle, but this is what Paul says about idleness. Paul says, "If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies." Ouch, Paul, okay? 2 Thessalonians, but it's true. If we are idle, that means that we're shrieking, we're saying, "I don't want to work. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." We're putting it off. And it's a serious offense to God. But that's all I'm going to say about that, because I imagine that for most of you, that's not your struggle. Your struggle is that you have absolutely no margins, because work never ends. So I'd like you to do me a favor. You can get out a piece of paper and write down your schedule for this week. I'm just kidding. None of you moved. You're like, "I'm not doing that. This is my retreat." And I don't blame you. If you did, though, you would quickly, probably, most of you see that you have things to do. And for some of us have less things to do. But for some of us, it's crazy and it's busy. And for those who maybe you do struggle with idleness, maybe you can think, okay, where can I fill in? Where can I serve? Where can I serve the church? Where can I serve my community? I think, though, that just as it takes faith to believe in God's existence, it takes faith to believe He is in control of all of our labors. It takes faith to believe that we can rest and things will be okay. If I'm honest, and I want to be all the time, I can struggle with guilt when I rest. I mean, it used to be worse than now, but I could be so guilty. I remember I would get on my bike and I would start riding, and 30 minutes in, I'd be thinking about all the things I should be probably doing this, and I should be doing that. And I would tell my husband, "Well, I did this." And he was like, "Well, what's the point? Chill out. Enjoy it. Ride. Isn't that the reason you got it?" But I would be guilty. I'd feel like, "Oh, I need to do this. I should be working." But we have to rest. We have to ask ourselves, what are we chasing and what is causing that guilt? Why can't we? We've got countries like France and Spain and Germany that take these siesta things where they had long lunches and they're able to rest. My children's book, God's Very Good Idea, is produced by a Christian publisher out of the UK called The Good Book Company. And they produce such great books. But one of the things that's funny is I think every other week they're on vacation. I'm like, when are y'all working again? They're always on vacation. And not really, but it's a lot. And I think it's such a good thing. It's so refreshing. But we have a hard time with it. And so, what is our problem? I'm going to name just one that I think of, and that's enough for us. I think our problem with rest and why we are afraid to say no is self-sufficiency. Y'all probably could have guessed that. The dictionary defines self-sufficiency as able to maintain oneself or itself without outside aid, capable of providing for one's own needs. In other words, we don't need God. That's what self-sufficiency says. Self-sufficiency says we do not need God. I think we can see that most pronounced in maybe our sleep habits. When we if we go, and then we lay down and we're anxious, and we're thinking about all the things that we need to do, and we cannot get our minds to rest, and then we get up and go, maybe there's a temptation there to self-sufficiency. Or if we go, and we don't take a break ever, and our lunch break is, here's my crackers and my water as I go and keep going. Maybe we work constantly past the time. We never have a real end. And then we come home and we're still working. Whatever it is, what does it look like? You know yourself, you know your days, you can evaluate. What are our habits? If you want to know if you're self-sufficient, you can ask, how do I respond when I don't get to finish a project, or I don't get to do something, or I haven't rested? I know for me, when I am struggling most with self-sufficiency, and I can tell I'm anxious about all the things that I have to do, and I've got things, and I can't rest in my mind, and I'm not trusting God for things, and I'm fearful that everything's gonna, I'm irritable, I can be anxious, I can be frustrated, I can be short with my kids, I'm shorter with my kids, I know, okay, what's going on in my heart, I've got to do something, so they want to talk, and I'm like, but I need to concentrate on something else, and though you're talking to me, this is more important, but it's not at all, because I can be anxious. So my question to you is, are you spending more time in worry than in prayer? Are you spending more time in worry than in prayer? When I'm not resting, I will become sluggish and weak and tired, and that is also when I worry more. Resting ultimately in the Lord is where I will have peace and where you will have peace. And the resting is not only in the body, it's also in the mind. I keep saying the mind, but I don't want to pass that up. We can think, okay, if I sit, then I'm resting. But if your mind is just constantly replaying things, then your heart cannot be resting. So we need to ask ourselves, how do we rest? Well, rest ultimately comes by resting in the Lord. Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. By learning from him and taking up his yoke, we find rest for our souls. We need to learn to take our anxiety, to take all our to-do lists, to take every burden that we have, and to cast it on the absolute only one who doesn't need rest, and the absolute only one who can carry everything that we have. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Often our going is because also we don't want to disappoint God. We go. I want to be the best at this, or I really want to glorify him in this. But we don't realize that he's saying, come to me. You don't have to earn favor before me. Cast your burdens on God and rest in him. The Pharisees laid burdens on the people. They outlined complex rules. And Jesus, even with the Sabbath, he pushed back on the Pharisees. Jesus reminded them, if you look in Matthew 12, you can read the whole thing. We're not going to do it today. But Jesus reminded them of a time when David entered the tabernacle and ate the bread of the presence, which was reserved for priests. He also mentioned that the priest worked on the Sabbath, which was at that time in violation of the command to rest. But God declared neither David nor the priest guilty. What does this mean? Jesus went on to explain that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And his desire for all of us is that we rest in him. So ultimately, our rest is in him. He was not saying that Sabbath rest isn't necessary or important, but that practicing a Sabbath is pointless when we focus on duty rather than the gift. If you focus on duty, so even our rest needs to be in Jesus, ultimately. This frees us on a number of levels. Some of you absolutely can't take a full day and rest. You have to work. I know, I think it's Susanna Wesley. Sorry. I think she had about 100 kids. Is that right? Something like that. Maybe it's 12. Pretty close. And she would stand in the middle of her kitchen and take her apron and put it over her head. That was her rest. She knew she needed Jesus. Isn't that the point? Sorry. We may not have 24 hours a day. And some of you mamas of new babies are thinking, yeah. Sorry. But we can always call upon the Lord. He is always available to us. We can have heart rest. We do not have to go around in anxious toil. We can ask God to give our hearts rest in him. I believe wholeheartedly we also must have physical rest. We cannot keep going. I don't remember if it was Japan or where it was, there was this competition, and this has happened a couple times, where they will see how long they can do video games. Have you heard about this? People drop dead. You have to sleep. You actually can't sit there, idle, doing video games. People have, isn't that intense? Yeah. Even you can't do it. You try to stay up. I think you stay up for a week and you start getting like delirious. I stay up for a day and I start getting I've already told you about my 9 p.m. cutoff. You are made for rest. You are also absolutely also ultimately made for spiritual rest. To find your heart's satisfaction in Jesus Christ. You are made to cast your burdens onto him. If you are up at night replaying all the things that you need to do, hello. If you are up at night, ask God to help you. Okay, I know I have this to do, and I have all these things that I have to do. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to trust you, God. So I'm going to cast this onto you. I'm going to even maybe get up and write it down. Okay, now I know. Okay, I can put it away, right? But I'm going to ask God to help. So how do we do this practically? One, I think the only way for us to rest is to be intentional. I know if I don't put it in my calendar, which I know sounds hilarious, but if I don't schedule rest, I won't rest. I won't do it because there's so much to do all the time. And if I don't rest or if I don't schedule it, I will keep working. I'll keep working. Or I'll do the opposite. I'll be like, I'm done. I can't do anything. And then I don't know if anyone else gets like this, but I can have so much to do that I start doing everything but what I need. Because I'm like, I've got so much to do. I think I'll just watch TV. That's idleness. Like, I'm overwhelmed. It's the funniest. I've done that a couple of times. I'm like, Thurn is my husband's name. I didn't get anything done because I was so overwhelmed, so I just watched TV. Doesn't make a bit of sense, but my brain is funny like that. It just, I get overwhelmed, and so I have to schedule things out, like rest and work and enjoying things like cycling. I want to go back also. My friend who had all the things and then she stopped some stuff, she built a prayer closet in her house. And so now she goes into that prayer closet and she has just wonderful times with the Lord. And she prays and is at peace and enjoying God. She still can't take a, you know, big old chunk of hours to rest. But her kids know, okay, Mom's in the prayer closet. She's resting in the Lord. So back to schedule. So I try to schedule times to get out and take a walk. I will force myself to take a walk. I will force myself to do something where I'm away from everything that I have to do so that I can be rejuvenated. And I would like to encourage you this week, if that's something you've never done before, look at your schedule and see, okay, where can I work? And work can be volunteering. It can be school, it can be whatever. There's lots of things that we can. And where can I rest? Where can I plug in that rest? I'm going to switch gears for about 5 minutes. There's something else that I think we lack in as we get older. And that is a sense of wonder and play. I believe that a well-rested soul will have their rest in Jesus. I also think there's something about play and enjoying life and enjoying what the Lord has done and gives us allows us even a greater sense of rest. Here's just an example. My kids, they absolutely love to play. It's easy to play. And I love to play too. I can get out there and just go with them. But when they were a little smaller, I think preschool age, I remember one day coming out of school, we did a co-op, and there was a snail on the ground. And my daughter hadn't seen one before, evidently. So she was she's like, oh, there's a snail! I was like, there's a snail! And I knew that meant we're gonna stop. And so she's looking at this snail, and then Weston starts looking at the snail, and I'm like, ah! And I was convicted almost immediately. We had to go home, but really, I mean, dinner, I already had things planned. I didn't need to go to the grocery store. But I was so anxious. I was like, we gotta go. And then I was like, we don't, actually. We can sit and just look at this snail. But in my head, I was like, and so I remember I made a conscious decision to look at the snail. Isn't that funny? I literally had to think, look at the snail. And so I was looking with them, and we were like, oh, look, there's more. And so we were looking at these snails. And God was convicting me that I have this fear of everything falling apart if I don't have it all ordered. And it was okay. I didn't have to run off. I could just enjoy this with my kids and have a sense of wonder. They're learning things. It's the same thing in the zoo. Zoo trips take forever. Because they want to look at everything, and you're like, they're still doing the same thing. But there's just delight and enjoy. A writer wrote this, and I love this. Play is not a major emphasis in the Bible, and it can be unhelpful to encourage play in a culture that so often and easily trivializes God and life itself. Yet, I do believe, this is someone else's words, yet I do believe that a sense of play is necessary for a healthy Christian perspective on life. The failure to appreciate play in the Christian life could easily turn to piety, turn piety into sanctimony, reverence into rigidity, and sanctification into stuffiness. We must take God as seriously as we can, but never ourselves. I think this is true, and I think this is true in regards to our schedule as well. If I am a little g God, then that means that my schedule rules the roost. My plans rule, and if I am putting myself at the center of my universe, right, instead of God, then I'm going to be anxious and fearful and frustrated when things don't go my way and I don't get to get things done. But when we take God seriously but not ourselves, then we can chill, we can rest, we can trust. That doesn't mean we don't work. It just means that we are putting our baskets in the right place. We're putting our hope and our rest in the right place, and we're able to play. I think God plays. How do I think he plays? I think he enjoys. I think he enjoys. Think about the giraffe. What? What a cool creature. I think God enjoyed making the giraffe. Okay, we're going to make this animal with like kind of short legs, maybe a little tall, and this neck that just goes forever and ever. That's fabulous. Think about the smile. My smile is the same that you'll see in Cambodia, in Colorado, in Quebec City, in you name it. A smile is a smile all over the world. Isn't that sweet of God? It's so sweet. So we want to have our souls rest and enjoy and be at peace, ultimately, in the Lord. We need to unplug and say no. Learn to say no. We need to learn to sit or dance, right? To enjoy this short little life that God has given us. He, this is scripture, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wingles. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not run and not be weary. I'm sorry. They shall walk and not faint. I'm sorry, I lost it. Okay. So God is he's so good. He will not grow faint or weary. We will. But then when we rest in him, when we trust in him, when we sit with him, he allows us to mount up with wings like eagles and to run. Don't we want to finish well? He allows it. So my prayer for you is that you would learn to rest well, ultimately, completely, and totally in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's ultimately anything that I've said this conference, this short period, can only be accomplished by resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. None of it will earn favor before our Lord. He invites us to come with our weariness
and find rest in our Savior.
And for today, this last session, he also invites us into a physical rest, a Sabbath rest, if you will, to enjoy and delight only in more of him. And that's my prayer for you, is that you would have more of him. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I just thank you. I love this room. I thank you for these women. And even just laughing at my stumbling words. God, what a joy that we could do that. God, thank you. Thank you so much. So, Lord, we worship you. We're in awe of you. We're so grateful for you, for who you are, and that we could know you, that you have given us that privilege. Lord, what a privilege. What a privilege it is to know you and to know that you are real and that, Jesus, you are right now interceding for each and every single one of us, and that we can have a relationship with you and that you want us to, that you sing over us. Wow. Lord, thank you. So I pray that each and every woman in here would have well-rested souls, that they would know you in greater ways, that they would rest in your finished work, Jesus, that there would be no one in here trying to earn any favor, but they would know that it is finished, God, and that they can trust you. I pray that, okay, they're about to leave and that their work week is going to start. God, I pray that you fill it with joy, that broken relationships would be mended somehow, God, for your glory. God, I pray that they would be refreshed and encouraged. Lord, that they would be able to encourage one another and build one another up. That they would, Lord, rely on you for every single task that needs to be done. God, I pray that if there's anyone here filled with sorrows, that they would find peace in you, God, that you would comfort, Lord. So, God, we pray all of this, everything that I've talked about, God, if there's anything that's helpful, I pray that they would know you in greater ways and that they would remember it. God, I pray for our times with you this week, that they would be rich, that whatever, there's going to be something that will get in our way, that we're gonna either get up late, or there's gonna be something that will get in our way from getting in our word, the word with you, God. So I pray that you would help us to prioritize it and to make it easier even this week, Lord, for us to get in our Bibles so that we can know you. And I pray, God, that our prayer lives would be enriched, Lord, that we would come before you with words and songs and we would speak to you. God, only you can do this, and it's only by your grace. So God, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for these women, and I pray that you would answer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Oh.